Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There are some stories that are so big, it doesn't really matter where they take place. Tucson or Taunton, it just doesn't matter because the event makes us all look up, take stock, and wonder aloud, what is really going on here? This weekend's shooting spree in Arizona is one of those moments. The whole country's now talking about the tone of our politics and the quality of our national discourse. Here's WBUR's own Tom Ashbrook on his show On Point just a few hours ago.
Is it time to call out, at least call out the people who are, wherever they come from, who interject this real sort of violent, hyper-incendiary language in here?
Like most public radio hosts, Tom is usually pretty circumspect about sharing his personal opinions on controversial issues. But this time around, he took the unusual step of authoring a commentary and posting it to onpointradio.org. It's entitled Them, Us, We, and Tucson. And in it, he argues that America is at a watershed moment. Tom's actually here now to talk more about Arizona, America, and where we are now as a nation. It is our talker today. Tom, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Meghna. It's great to be with you.
Well, I wonder if you could just start by reading us an excerpt from the essay that you posted.
I could put this up yesterday. Like everybody else over the weekend, I could not take my eyes off of those images out of Tucson. I could not take my mind off what was happening, and it seems to have just been building. I thought maybe it's time to just write something down, and I opened up saying, you know, this is a kind of a river's edge. We've got to pull back, pointing out that Congresswoman Gabby Giffords' shooter was just 22 years old. And then, here's what I wrote, more or less. That means... At 22. That means he grew up in America's years of trash talk, of increasingly rash, intolerant, hate-filled talk, years of framing disagreement as Armageddon and opponents as traitors. This has to stop. There are very real, important arguments over this country's way forward. We cannot duck those. But we, the people, must together call out those who twist our troubles into hatred. And I went on to say, those who exploit the real challenges we face instead of helping solve them, those who play with emotions and tilt them toward violence. No matter what your politics are, you have to ask why Sarah Palin drew a gun sight around Gabby Giffords' district, why she chose to say on the biggest of stages, don't retreat, reload. My kin came home bloodied from Vicksburg in the Civil War. We Americans are not immune to the worst. I've seen what happened in the Balkans and Rwanda when countrymen demonized and dehumanized one another, then slaughtered one another. The massacre in Tucson may have been the work of a troubled young man, but what were the messages this young man heard from too many people of prominence in our society? It's sickening, and it has to stop. And I ended saying it on point. We work for very real but fundamentally respectful debate and inquiry. We try to model that kind of citizenship. It's time to call out together and loudly those who model violence.
That's WBUR's own On Point. He's the host of Tom Ashbrook. He's the host of NPR's On Point. He's reading from a commentary he posted at onpointradio.org. I know there are a lot of Tom Ashbrook listeners out there who also listen to Radio Boston, so we've turn the tables on Tom, and he's here with us to talk a little bit more about Arizona and America. And if you have a question for him, or if you have a comment on how he sets the political tone and the political discourse in his program, give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also reach us through WBUR.org/Boston or on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Tom, I mean, people who maybe have looked at my bio, they know that I worked for you for many years.
Yes.
At On Point. And I know that, you know, in the time that you've been host of that program, there have been huge sort of earth-shattering events in American history. There was 9/11, which got the program started
with 9/11.
Multiple presidential elections, wars. But what was it about this event in Arizona that made you feel like you had to take that step forward and really ask out loud what is happening in America right now.
We're on the air every day. So I'm not one. I'm not a big tweeter. I'm not a big blog poster. I figure that my voice and the thoughts of the guests that we bring to the air are there every day for people who want to hear them. But this happened over the weekend, and I think people were so shocked. I was so shocked, and it seemed like something that needed an immediate response. It also felt to me like the culmination of years of playing with something central to this country's unity that I think we've gotten out on the far fringes of playing with, out onto the dangerous fringes of playing with, when a congresswoman who is as open and, for crying out loud, let's say it, centrist. She could be whatever. She could be as far left or right as she wants, but she was right there in the middle, and she shot in a parking lot of a Safeway supermarket. That's just too much. And there are times when we as citizens have to stand up and say, that is outside, not just the sort of realm of proper discourse in this democracy. That's outside, way outside the realm of decency. And what is it in the climate that might be leading a troubled young man like this to do such a thing?
Well, I think one thing which you mentioned that also kind of resonated with me all weekend long was that the alleged shooter, Jared Lee Loeffner, is just 22. He's come of age in an era of this sort of extreme political discourse on the left and right. You mentioned that in your commentary, and that's one thing that got a lot of people cheering you in the comment section at onpointradio.org. Here's Chris in Alston saying, right on, Mr. Ashbrook. I'm 23, 1 year the suspect senior. I look around and ask, where are the role models for how I handle disagreement? My generation is inheriting monumental problems, but the chief of them may be our diminished capacity to cordially discuss these issues without flying off the handle. So a generational issue here, too, in terms of how we're teaching young Americans what it means to be citizens and engage civically.
Absolutely. If you're 22 like Jared Loeffner, or if you're Chris who's 23, I mean, I'm not 22 or 23 anymore, and I want to tell you it does not have to be like this. We've had big debates in this country since the very, very beginning, but we haven't had this sort of What is it? It's a kind of cheating, a kind of corruption on real debate when you bring in gun sights and bullseyes and talk about Second Amendment solutions. Those aren't part of the American kind of debate vocabulary, at least in most of my life. And for for young adults who are 20-something now and that's all they've heard, let me tell you, it does not have to be this way. It has not always been this way. It cannot remain this way, I believe, if we're going to solve the very big problems right in front of us. And I think young people have a lot to say and a lot to do about saying no to that, rejecting that, because it's citizen rejection of that in the end that will bring it to an end. It will get us back on a more even keel.
And yet, for 9, going on 10 years now, you've been, having your finger on the pulse of the political discourse in the country. And you said that this sort of extreme rhetoric that we're hearing didn't come from anywhere. So in your mind, and all the thinking that you've done over the past, decade on this, where has it come from? Where did it come from?
I wouldn't say it didn't come from anywhere. I think fundamentally what we're seeing is America is radically changing. Look at our demographics. Some people are uncomfortable with that. We're facing the end of a time of what sort of presumed primacy in the world. We've got a lot of challenges out there, and those challengers and the realities of this time bring a lot of challenges right into our laps. And I think those are getting people really unsettled, some people really unnerved. And instead of channeling the energy that comes from a challenge, a threat, into a positive reaction, we have too many people who are rallying people around negative responses to that that turn us on one another. Mm-hmm. Those won't lead to good solutions in the end. And I think we need to call out the people. I'm open to any end of the spectrum of legitimate debate, and that defined extremely widely. I'm in the press. I'm a big First Amendment guy. But I think it's time for us to look at people who are putting violence out there, even if it's in a cute, laughing way. It's not funny. And these deaths and this shooting of a congresswoman prove that it's not funny, and it's time for us to call them out and say, no, we're up for any level of debate, we're up for any intensity of debate, but we're not up for putting Americans in crosshairs in the context of legitimate and important debate in this country.
But forgive me, Tom, but we used to lock our horns in the meetings when I was with you at On Point. I got to just ask you then, in America, wasn't it perhaps, could you perhaps think that wasn't it ever thus, that we have these moments in American history where we reach this fever pitch? I mean, I'm thinking back in pre-Civil War times. You mentioned in your commentary that your family, mm-hmm. members of your family mm-hmm. came home bloodied from Vicksburg in the Civil War. Mm-hmm. In pre-Civil War times, you know, we've got John Brown, abolitionist, who advocated and even perpetuated violence of his own at Harper's Ferry. He stands on the gallows, you know, having been convicted for treason. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln calls him a misguided fanatic. And even on the gallows, John Brown, you know, he made a statement saying, "I, John Brown, am now quite certain that the crimes of this guilty land will never be purged away with anything but blood." So it seems almost part of the American character to push things to an extreme and then pull back.
Life is real. Conflict is real. Political violence isn't new. In the youth of people like me, we saw JFK and Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King all killed, and there have been more assassinations, and they go all the way back. Part of what makes this different, to my mind, is that the language that is now encouraging this is not from the fringe. John Brown, I mean, he was on the fringe of the abolition movement. He was supported by some, but he was out there. Now we're seeing this in the mainstream media. Turn on your AM radio dial, and you can hear this, and FM, and you can hear this pouring out day and night. Look to candidates for high office in this country. In fact, very nearly the highest office. I mean, Sarah Palin can say, no, that wasn't a crosshairs, that was a surveyor's site, that wasn't a gun sight, that wasn't a bullseye. Well, of course it was. And when you say, let's not retreat, reload, that's bringing this to the very highest level. Now, when you get up there, it's why I raised the Civil War. Mm-hmm. When you get up to that level of public office, or those who aspire to public office, then you are back into the kind of debates that went on before the Civil War. And why? We don't have slavery to settle here. We have a challenging way forward to settle. That we need to do together. And I think when people at that level of aspiration to office are talking like this, something is really wrong. And when it comes, I mean, it's bad enough when presidents, and they have been killed in this country, but here's an ordinary congresswoman. If we can't have congresspeople going out into the street, into a parking lot at a supermarket and talking with their constituents, how are we going to have democracy?
You mentioned Sarah Palin. You're not the only one over the weekend who had obviously brought up her name, but your mentioning of her did elicit a lot of comments on onpointradio.org and on WBR.org, basically everywhere mm-hmm. on the web. So let's see here. Dan from Fort Sill, Oklahoma, one in your listening area, says that, quote, "Sarah Palin, Tom, really? This guy did this because of Sarah Palin? A guy who says he will not, quote, trust in God, follows Sarah Palin? This guy was a nut, and that is it. I have no love for Sarah Palin, but I have less love for taking political advantage of tragedies," which Dan says is what you are doing here.
I don't think it's political advantage. I'm not drawing a straight line from that murder in the parking lot to a particular thing Sarah Palin said. What I am doing is saying the context of debate in this country has become corrupted by references to violence that almost sound goading. Does that mean that you can draw a direct line? No. But does it mean that this young man, troubled as he may have been, and I pointed that out, you know, can we say he didn't live in this context? Of course he did. And when those in positions of authority, those in positions of influence, cavalierly, sort of casually toss off this kind of violent reference, that resonates out in the world. And as Gabby Gifford herself said last year, after she was put in those crosshairs on the Sarah Palin Facebook site, you know, be careful. These things can have consequences. To my mind, it doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. Why are we putting bullseyes around candidates for Democratic office, democratically elected office in this country?
Listeners, we've got Tom Ashbrook, host of NPR's and WBUR's On Point here, talking with us about Arizona, America, and where we are now. There's a comment on our website, WBUR.org/Boston. Nina says, "I can't help but think about John Salvey's shooting rampage against women's health clinics in Boston in 1994. Mm. He was a fragile mind pushed to the breaking point by incendiary language in the battle over abortion rights. Mr. Loeffner appears right out of the same mold." We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. If you want to talk to Tom, Jody is calling from Brockton. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jody.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I really have a comment, and I'm just sort of struck by the irony of John Stewart's rally to restore sanity, which I attended in Washington back at the end of October, very inspiring day, and I think all of us who were there came away with a sense that the message was to do exactly what we hear people saying now, tone it down, let's restore our country to civil discourse. But he was criticized roundly by commentators on both the right and the left as having no message at all that day. But now I think we all understand how important that message was. And I have a 22-year-old son, and I've been thinking all weekend about the messages he's been bombarded by through his whole life. And even though we've tried very hard to control those messages, it's very, very hard to keep our kids and our young adults safe from these messages of violence and retaliation.
Jody, thank you so much for your call.
You know, I couldn't agree more. It's so tempting to say that calls to tone it down are Pollyanna-ish. And if tone it down means don't have the full debate, I agree. But I don't think that's what John Stewart was saying. I don't think that's what your caller is saying. We need to have the full, rich debate in this country, and we need to hear all parts of the political spectrum in it. That's how you finally come to consensus, by giving everybody their say, and full-throated say. But I think the caller's quite right. You know, to put things in these terms, that's not the way democracy works. It cannot work that way.
I want to open the lines up to more of our WBUR listeners. It's a really rare pleasure to have you with us here. Tom, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Jerry is calling from Windham, New Hampshire. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jerry.
Hi, thank you for taking the call. Tom, I listen to NPR and your show on a daily basis. And on this issue, I think that you're actually adding fuel to the flame instead of bringing us back to what you're calling the rational discourse.
Okay.
I think by associating this horrendous crime to a particular individual, Sarah Palin, and conservative commentators on talk radio, AM talk radio, or Fox News, is not helping the situation. I think finger pointing is part of the problem.
Jerry, let's get Tom's response.
Look, I'm not eager to do this, and I'm not doing it lightly. And I'm not saying you can draw a straight line. But if this isn't a time for all of us to sit back and say, wait a minute, is it a good idea to put crosshairs on political opponents? Whatever party you're in, I don't know what that time is. I mean, we welcome all points of view at our show every day. And Jerry, if you listen, you know that. And the welcome mat is right out there. And we have worked very hard over many years to make everybody feel welcome there, and all opinions right across the spectrum to be quite welcome there. But this is something that hits all of us. We all have to stare at it. And, you know, there are times when you just have to say, wait a minute here. What are we doing? Why are we using this kind of language? 6 people are dead. 20 are shot. A congresswoman had a bullet go right through her brain. That's not business as usual. It certainly can't be. That's my view of it. And if there's not a time to speak up and say something, if this isn't it, I don't know when it is, Jerry.
Tom, let me ask you a question. You have, obviously, your experience as a journalist goes far and deep, not just here in the United States, but around the world. And you mentioned Rwanda in your commentary, that the power of media and what happens when messages get moved to the extreme. That is a very powerful example to bring up. Is your fear that America could go the way of Rwanda?
I mean, you know, no, I don't think we're going to do that. If you asked me 3 days ago, we're not going to have genocide here. But even just the little bit of that is poison in a democratic system. Just a little bit. Yeah, I was in Rwanda. I saw, you know, the sort of horrible mass graves there, the ground still soft underfoot. You know what happened before that killing began was people got on the radio and they started calling the Tutsis cockroaches, that dehumanizing language, which was a signal to a lot of Hutu around the country to go get them. And they did. And they slaughtered them in the hundreds of thousands. Now, that's a grotesque, horrible genocide. But whenever you dehumanize people, and I fear that our political language has begun to do this, when you dehumanize them, some humans are going to be more ready to do them harm. It seems to take away the sort of moral weight of the offense to human life once they're dehumanized. We have to be careful about that.
And is the part of the ease of dehumanization today, could that be because there's a cacophony of media out there? I mean, we mentioned Twitter and Facebook and sort of the one-man journalists who have a great deal of power through the amplification of the internet, which, you know, didn't exist in years past.
The respect due to fellow citizens is very often not being offered, and I'm talking in all kinds of directions. Jerry, if you're still listening there, I'm not talking about just one way, but the rhetoric has gotten very high. People are making big money on shows that draw audiences with almost a freak show attraction to this incendiary language. And I think that ultimately has a cost, whatever side it comes from. And I think what we saw in Tucson is very likely a piece of that price. I don't think we can afford this as a country. We have too many big, important challenges standing right in front of us, and we need to tackle them together. This is not the way to do that.
Michael's sending us a comment at WBUR.org/Boston. He writes, in Tom's second hour today and talking about how to bring down the tone, he had on Mona Charon, who has used the term tar baby to describe Obama's health care bill. Tom also had on the show people claiming that Obama is a Kenyan. He also gave the platform for a Tea Party member to state that if elections did not go their way, violence could happen. I believe these are shows he's referencing in On Points Past. Michael writes, I would take Tom more seriously if when he invites such people, he actually questioned them and called out their bigot or hate. So, I mean, I guess Michael's here is calling Tom to hear more of the kind of thing that you have to say today.
Well, I'll say a couple things about that. Number one is, yes, you have heard those people on our air. We've talked with people right across the spectrum, you name it. You know, you've got Noam Chomsky maybe over here, and you've got Tea Partiers over here. We're very committed to having the entire national conversation here, not just some little, soiree version of it. This is not a drawing room conversation. We want everybody in there. We want people to say what's on their mind. And yet, we've heard that. It's important to have that conversation right across the political spectrum so that everybody hears everybody else. Do we challenge when people are openly bigoted on the air? Are you kidding me? Of course we do, and have again and again. But we have some listeners who just don't want to hear it at all. And the irony here is, and I feel there's a kind of, we are devoted to a big tent conversation at On Point. We want right, left, and center all in there, and we want to hear their voices on air. That's an important conversation. But when, part of it sort of takes the conversation and goes off in a violent direction, that's just too far, and we're not going there.
I want to sneak in one more caller in here. Marcy is calling from Beverly. Welcome to Radio Boston, Marcy.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. The thing that really shocks me, especially being a 24-year-old, and we talk about having role models for us to look up to, it feels like there are simply no adults in the conversation who want to own their part. We're in this age of blame, where everybody wants to point the finger at somebody else. And, whether we're talking about Sarah Palin or whoever, I just would really love to remind them that the story right now should not be about defending your persona. It's about these people who have been hurt in this tragic event. And if you can't step up to the plate and denounce violence here and now, then I just think you have no part in our political system, because the American people deserve better.
Marcy, thank you so much for your call. Tom, I want to follow Marcy's question up with one last question for you. Mm-hmm. I believe that the sign of a healthy democracy is a nation's ability, I've heard other people say this, to self-correct. How are we going to ratchet back from this moment, if indeed people do think we do need to ratchet back? Or are we already in the middle of a self-correcting moment as a democracy?
I hope that what we see here is a watershed. I'd like to see everybody get more committed to cooling off after this. The consequences are too great. We'll see. We don't know. It could go either way. But I've planted my flag here. The violent rhetoric has gone too far. Citizens need to call people out on it and get busy on the important challenges we're facing, not this. This leads to death in a parking lot of fellow Americans. What is the point of that?
Tom Ashbrook, he's the host of NPR's On Point, and you can hear it right here every day at 10 o'clock to noon. You can catch the show again nightly from 7 to 9 p.m. Tom, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Magna.
Listeners, you can read Tom's commentary and post your thoughts online at WBUR.org/Boston. And before we take a break, here's an email from Beth in Lowell. She writes, thank you for your program. I do not want to minimize the upsetting tone of political rhetoric. However, while you may not be able to draw a direct line from the rhetoric of Sarah Palin to the crime in Tucson, you can draw a direct line from the lack of even moderate gun control legislation in Arizona to the gun that the gunman used to shoot the congresswoman in and other people. We hear you, Beth, so we're going to talk about gun control laws right here in Massachusetts when we come back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.